Eamon Ryan, leader of the Green Party. We will talk to you about the Green Party and your national conference, which has just gone. Do you know, is there an insurance regulator?
The Financial Services Regulator covers that area.
And it's supposed to cover the conduct of insurers and making sure that they are charging ethically and all of that. And do you think that they are up to the task, given the rising premiums?
I think our whole insurance industry is need a real reform, because it is actually, it's shutting down every community activity. It's really difficult for small business. It's not just the insurance industry. Our legal, our law council and bar council have questions to answer in terms of, are we creating a culture that makes it impossible to do anything in this country for fear of being sued? And I think the answer to that is yes. I think it has to change.
You're in here bright and early after your national, I don't know what you, do you call it, a national conference or national convention that you had? National convention that you had in Dublin City Centre yesterday. The fact you're here bright and early suggests not too much elderflower wine consumed last night. But in fairness to your party, you've had good reason to do so, because I can't imagine, with the greatest of respect to the candidates that you ran in the local elections, that even in your wildest dreams you thought you'd be coming back with nearly 50 councillors south of the border and then a good clutch more in the six counties as well.
Yeah, no, we did really well, and two MEPs. So
indeed,
and that was pretty much meeting all our most optimistic targets. Probably even the number of councillors exceeded it. And it's the first time, really, I think, in our history, we've put down deep roots right across the country, because it's not just Dublin, it's not just Cork, Limerick, Waterford, Galway. It's in Offaly and Clare. It's all over, and they're really good people. And what I was saying to them at our convention is, okay, we got to work now. We got to serve that vote, deserve the support of the people who have supported us by delivering practical improvements to people's quality of life on the ground.
So what does that serving of that vote mean in practice?
Well, starting, first of all, on our councillors, what they've done is, on most of the councils we are, we've tried to form a majority coalition, or we've helped make that happen, working with a whole range of other different parties, setting out agreements as to what we want to do on that council for 5 years. So not just there dividing up the mayoralty and the chairs, but setting out how do we change local government for the better. And the next stage, so that's happened in most of our areas. The next stage, we want to sit down with stakeholders across the country in each county, with academics, NGOs, activists who would have an interest in, if we were to devise to write a completely different national development plan, a sustainable one, what might that involve in a really practical way? And that information, those ideas, we want to feed into the development plans that we have to do in each county, and also into any future programme for government talks we might be involved in, so that you're going in with specific proposals to change the country rather than just vague ambitions.
Well,
and then the last one, I suppose, just in terms of Grace and Kieran, they're right into the middle of it. We have to vote even next week, I think it is, on the President of the Commission. And we're part of a wider European Green group. There's 75 Green MEPs now. It's a really strong group. They both got the committees they want to work on in environment, in fisheries, in transport. And so it's down to work.
One of the big decisions that was made at your convention yesterday was a question mark about whether you would go into government again with the likes of a Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil. There was a motion trying to constrain you from doing that. It was voted down. I know you spoke against the premise of that motion. What do you say to people in your party, and there are high profile documented examples, who say that you're never going to get the radical change that they believe the earth needs if you're prepared to compromise with the two biggest parties, or with the duopoly that's already there?
Well, firstly, I mean, they have a valid position. You know, you wouldn't crack down and say, well, you can't think that, because there is a real argument. And I think it's healthy to have that sort of debate in a party. My argument back was, the scale and the speed of the change we need to make in tackling climate change is so immense. People don't realise how big and difficult a challenge this is going to be. It also brings opportunities. But if it is, given that it's such a scale challenge, I don't think we will deliver it if we kind of approach it in a politically divisive way, where we say, oh, we'll talk to one side, but not the other. And also not, we have to respect the people who vote for different parties, in terms of, if, in my mind, the climate change transition we need to make will only really work is there's a sense that everyone's on board. Every place matters, every person matters. And I think that, and also, we'll have to win it. It's both a sprint and a marathon. We have to be quick now, but also it has to last over a period of time. So we have to make sure that in what we're going to do in turning Ireland green, that there's four or five governments in a row are going to do it. So it's not stop-start. So in those circumstances, we've long had a tradition. We talk to all parties. We try and work with on each side of a left-right divide. And that was my argument, and that was the one that carried the vote yesterday. But it's not to denigrate, or it's not to undermine, or to doubt that the position coming from the other side has its logic too.
Well, you did quote Roger Garland. I've got a copy of the leader speech you gave at the convention yesterday, and you quoted Roger Garland, one of your early torchbearers, and he said that the Greens want the security of socialism combined with the freedom of capitalism. In the endeavours to find common ground with the centre, both right and left take the worst from both ideologies and try to combine them, whereas we in the Greens try to take the best. That might sound very well intended, but it might also mean that you're a bit ideologically wishy-washy and you're prepared to just jump in bed with whoever's in power.
No, he was, Roger in turn quoted Petra Kelly, who I had the great pleasure of meeting. She was one of the founding women of the whole European Green movement. What did she say? Not left or right, but ahead. Our politics and our policies now have to be really specific and very precise in terms of making the social and ecological justice issues that we're concerned about centre stage and delivering them. It is more typically left to centre in the sense that I think the state has a stronger role. I think this whole reliance over the last 30, 40 years on the market to deliver everything, I think that's shot. I said that in my own speech yesterday. It's not that you're then anti-business. I was a businessman. I was an entrepreneur. But it can't be business which is all about profit and all about growth. It has to be a business which is about serving the community, which is about, has other values in it as well. And actually, I think a lot of people in business have that. They sense they go in not just to make whatever, money as their only motive. It is actually to actually do something useful for society, and that's where we need to go.
The councillors that you mentioned who got elected, the 49 in the Republic and I think another 8 north of the board, they were elected on what was has now become popularly known as the Green Wave. You mentioned there that you believe the next 5 governments all need to have truly sustainable policies if the earth is to overcome some of the difficulties that it's facing. That leaves an awful lot of responsibility on those councillors, because one would think that your prospects at the next general election, which is the means by which you'll determine whether you're going to be in one of those administrations, will be largely influenced by the performance of those councillors and local authorities, whether they are seen to deliver the things that they were elected on. And ultimately, who knows when the general election might be, but that if the electorate go to that next ballot box without as much faith or in the Greens as they did 2 months ago, then aren't we all sunk?
Yeah,
you might think the party is sunk, but if you think the party is sunk, that means the planet is sunk, doesn't it?
That's what we have to avoid. And I think the planet, the latter one, is the really important one. And that's why I was emphasising it's about practical improvements in people's quality of life on the ground. And it's about working with other people and not being afraid to do that, and including that working with officials. The election is probably in the next, it's almost certainly in the next 9 months. Politics takes a little bit of time. I don't think you can expect our councillors to completely turn around every one of our cities in the next 9 months. But I think when you start doing it, actually things can change reasonably quickly. And I think there is that green wave you mentioned. It is there. Like, there was a fundamental shift in consciousness. We all sensed it in the last year or two, where Irish people saying, yeah, we do want to go green. We do want to switch to a better form of public transport. We do want to switch away from industrial agriculture. We do want to develop our own renewable energy power. You could look at it down, but more than anything else, we want to secure a safe future for our children. Now, I don't think that tide's going to go out. I mean, it may reduce, it'll go up and down. We've seen over the time how that happens. But I think the underlying interest in the Irish people in going green is real. And I think our job is to represent that as best we can. And to a certain extent, by representing it, by working with other people, not just, it just doesn't belong to just us alone. It'll work better the more people believe in it.
One analysis that I've heard doing the rounds, and it's one that I have a certain amount of sympathy for, is that the Greens tend to do well when they perceive that the country can afford green politics, and that we've seen it in other times, particularly in 2011, although there were other reasons then as well, that people are prepared to vote for Greens as they did 2 months ago or in 2007 when they believe that the state has the money to be able to do the heavy lifting that is needed for the sort of the world that the Greens want. But if things were to go south a little bit, then people are more worried about the bread and butter on the table rather than the future of the planet.
I think two things have changed that. Firstly, that we can't afford not to do it, either ecologically, but also we're so far short of the targets we've committed to on the likes of climate change issues. We're facing hundreds of millions of fines every year in the immediate few years if we don't mend our ways. But secondly, I think in the environmental movement, we're increasingly presenting this idea of a Green New Deal, which is an investment package. So let's say if there is a downturn, and no one's certain for this yet, but there's
a hard Brexit and a $4.5 billion deficit this year.
If there's a hard Brexit, there will be a downturn. We will be presenting a budget submission which says in the event of that happening, you crack open the Green New Deal box straight away. You start investing in building, in energy, and in farming and in forestry in a way that's a counter-stimulus. Now, it's going to be difficult because it will mean borrowing. It'll mean be going against the prevailing winds economically. Mm. But actually, it's the right thing to do economically. Everyone, Fiscal Advisory Council and others recognise this. So I think if we're going to do that, we borrow to make the investments we need to make anyway. So even in the event of a downturn, I'm hoping that the economic logic of what we're saying will come through. And I think people will still vote for us, even in those circumstances.
One of the changes that your councillors are looking to make, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about local Dublin issues because I'm mindful that there is an audience outside the fated M50. But when I was driving in this morning, I saw a banner announcing opposition from people in, I can't remember whether it was Terranure or Rathgar, to bus connects, because they argue that by constructing a dedicated bus lane, or even if it's a cycle lane too, that destroys the general facade and tone and character of their communities. But that's a project that your councillors are in favour of pursuing because it's increased public transport. So how do you square the two competing aims there, where you have a need for better public transport but you also want to make communities pleasant places to live in?
Well, firstly, it isn't just a Dublin issue. We have a woeful lack of public transport in Galway, Waterford, Limerick, but also, just to be right up to date politically, last Monday in Cork City Council there was a very contentious vote on a bus priority upgrade on the Wilton Road, if you know, just near the University Hospital there in Cork. Now, that was defeated. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil voted against. We voted in favour with Sinn Féin. These are never easy issues. I think we have to radically improve the quality of public transport and the cycling environment. I think that in many instances is going to see a throttling back of the car in our city, that when you come to junctions, you would see a traffic light signal being given, a bus giving a step ahead to the cars so that they always get ahead of the road. In other instances, take the example you mentioned there, that corridor coming into Rathmines.
Which already has one of those staggered traffic lights, by the way.
It does. It needs to be improved. But let's take that route going right through to Rathmines for people who know Dublin. I think that will lead to a situation where Rathmines is made a one-way street for cars, and that the space will be used to provide for cyclists and buses. Mm. And that then will have knock-on consequences when we come to Rathgar, Rathfarnham, Terranure beyond, that actually it's going to be a much reduced volume of car traffic. And that will allow you, hopefully, to put in the high-quality bus corridors, put in the cycle lanes without taking out
trees. What do you tell the residents of those areas, though, who just have their face set against this at this point, that they're saying that they don't want the ultimate character of their villages? They are communities, as they say, and not corridors.
No, they're right. They're right. We have to build communities. And we've been working very closely with those communities and looking at what the options are. Part of what creating communities is going to be reducing the dominance of the car. We've allowed all our cities sprawl and be dominated by single individual car traffic, which just doesn't work. And it actually breaks communities. It breaks it in terms of air quality. We've seen the figures released last week in Dublin of atrocious air quality. It breaks it in terms of children not being able to make their way, safe way to school, walking and cycling to school. It just breaks it in terms of us spending increasingly chaotic period of time in traffic that we don't know whether it's going to work or not.
Well, that alludes to a bigger concern that the Greens might have, and that's that ultimately, while the Greens' predominant concern, and I don't mean to say this in a pithy or a glib way, but that it's ensuring the future sustainability of the planet, that's a very macro concern. But people tend to vote with very micro issues in mind because they're still maybe thinking a little bit further, lower down the Maslow's pyramid of needs, and that they're not necessarily as concerned about the future of the planet so much as the food in the fridge or exactly how they're going to get about their work or everything else. Are you convinced that people are actually going to make the lifestyle changes in their own lives which are necessary to do all of that? Because, I mean, Ireland is such a smaller player on the global scale.
The environmental movement has learned from our mistakes. If we do it that way, and I think Fine Gael are guilty of this at the moment, it's all about you. Are you using the right cup? Are you doing the right thing in your house? Are you doing the right thing in what sort of product you're using? That will not work. We will not get people to shift this commence these huge big global issues with, have you got the right light bulbs and how dare you get the wrong thing and whatever. What we've learnt is that actually you need to make it easy for people to do the right things, which is the job of the political system, to manage system change so that we're actually doing the right environmental thing without having it to be a daily moral kind of choice. And I think What we've seen in the Greens recently, in the likes of Germany and across Europe, Belgium, Holland and elsewhere, the Greens are now really growing in, as a political force. Like in Germany, we've just about overtaken the Christian Democrats as the largest party in the polls in Germany. Why is that? Because they're incredibly strong in regional government and in local government, and have spent 20, 30 years in delivering really high quality housing.
So they focus on the macro.
They focus on improving people's quality of lives in a day-to-day way at the local level. And I think that's why I think our election of 57 councillors and our first priority is working with those, as I said there a few minutes ago, to work out what would be a national sustainable development plan at the local level. What's actually, what would it mean? If we're switching to public transport, let's say in Limerick, what exactly would we do? All Fine Gael have is we're going to throw motorways at you. And there'd be more cars everywhere. I don't think that'll work. What would we
do? But try telling people in RD they don't need the bypass, or telling people that they don't need the motorway between Cork and Limerick.
There's a whole range of different choices, and they're difficult choices. Take, for example, Slane, which is at the moment throttled by traffic. You could go to the people and say, OK, I'll tell you what we'll do. You've got two motorways either side of you, very close by. Let's ban HGVs going through the village of Slane. Let's say, no, you have to take the motorway, which is only a short distance away on either side. And that then transforms the urban environment in a way that maybe you don't have to build a big, massive bypass. Or you can build a much smaller bypass because it's not
taking
HGVs.
It's as easy as a stroke of a pen like that.
No, but it's a political decision around, and do we always turn to building roads? The government currently has 51 motorways and national roads either being built or about to be built in planning. There's not a single public transport project at scale in planning. Not one. And that's
Metro North doesn't count. Metro North doesn't count.
It's not even in planning yet. It's just in consultation. Okay. Nothing is actually ready to go because they have not prioritised it. That has been a political decision.
Go back to the Green Wave, and just because we're beginning to run out of time. Obviously, you had an incredible local elections. If you believe the general election is in 9 months' time, how many seats would you be hoping to win?
I've been consistent saying the same thing. Even before this wave came, we should aim for about six. We need at least six seats, at least.
Is that not very prudent now? Should not be looking at double digits at this point?
I prefer to be prudent because I prefer to overachieve in the end. But also I say six for this reason. Firstly, that's one in 20 Irish people voting for us. And that gives you political capital if you go into government. And even if you're in opposition, the same. It also allows you, if you have six TDs, in my experience, and I've been there before, so maybe I'm comfortable with it, where if you allocate two or three ministers each, you can cover all of government. So you're an all of government party. Thirdly, if you get six, and if you manage to go into government, in the past, we had two cabinet ministers with such a number. And I think that's important so that you're reporting back to your party in an effective and efficient way. Now, I would like to get a lot more than that. I think we might be able to. But I
saw one suggestion during the week that if you brought a running mate with you in Dublin Bay South, you would both get in.
I don't think so. I mean, I'd be very nervous around
losing your seat.
No. We've often in the past done well in European and local elections and found in the general election, short time later, we didn't do quite as well. So I think people should be slightly careful. But having said that, I do think we can. I do think there's a change. I think there's a change in the Irish people. They are actually seeing a green vote as representing what they feel and what they think. And I don't think it's going to go back quite the same way that it may have done in the past. I've been long enough in this since the late 80s. I saw there was a real wave of green thinking in the late 80s. It went out in the mid 90s. There was a similar wave in the early 2000s, Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth.
It went out. And your election in 2007. Yeah.
It went out even before then. It actually went out like the kind of tide.
Can the party afford another decline if it were to come?
Yeah, but the bigger question is, can we as a country afford, and can we as a people across the world, to continue to ignore the environmental challenges that we face? And I think the answer to that is no, and I think the Irish people know that. I think they listen to the scientists when they say we have 10 years to address these challenges. We have to start now. We will work with all parties to try and make that happen. I think Ireland's going to be good at that. And I think Irish people have that sense. They said they want to go green. They know we're going to be good if we go green, and it's going to be better for our country. That's what we have to live up to.
OK. Eamon Ryan, Green Party leader, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime and On the Record.